Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
O'clock hour here on a Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a fantastic day. Tomorrow, we're excited to see a lot of you up at the Landing in Liberty, our 610 Sports Radio draft party presented by Hy-Vee, the official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Bink and Chris going to be broadcasting live throughout the entire night. We'll be watching the draft, waiting till maybe pick 32. We'll also be keeping an eye on what's going to happen with the AFC West, which we'll get to in a second. But as we mentioned in the last segment, the Chicago Bears just announced their massive new stadium plan. So we know that conversation here, it's relevant. It ties into what we've been discussing for the Chiefs and Royals. But Chicago announced a lakefront stadium. It, by the way, is a dome stadium or retractable stadium. $2 billion in public money, $4.6 billion stadium project. Now, much like here, it's not a done deal. It doesn't mean it's just going to happen automatically. They got to go through a process as well. But it's significant for them. They're also dealing with a stadium, Soldier Field, that's viewed as a very historical type of venue as well.
But also they realize it's turning into a dump and they don't want to keep paying for it.
And they also already renovated original Soldier Field once. So it's actually kind of similar.
Very much so.
Chicago's one of the five biggest cities or whatever in the country versus Kansas City.
And Soldier Field's a little older than Arrowhead.
It is. So there's that. But no, one of our former colleagues, Danny Parkins, put out the video of the press conference. And this is how bad it's gotten in Chicago, though. They're holding a prayer to pray for wins. Pray for wins. That's how bad it's gotten for Chicago. At the same press conference, so not the same. Let me just play you the audio of this. For wins, there was even a chuckle in the crowd.
Your help today, as we make progress. And I want to thank you for our mayor, for raising up a young man with such a significant heart for our city. Thank you for the McCaskey family. Thank you for Kevin. And now we thank you for all of the people who will benefit by the Bears staying in Chicago. I don't know that you play football, but I am asking you to help us. Help us to win some games. Help us to get a Super Bowl here. Help us to play in the Super Bowl.
Their stadium press conference.
Damn, they're down bad.
They got someone out there praying for Super Bowl wins at the official team.
He prayed for regular wins. The Super Bowl was an afterthought. He would have taken that as just like a bonus.
Well, they haven't had a lot of success here recently, Cody. They need any help they can get.
I personally pray every day, and I have never prayed for the Bengals to win a football game in my lifetime.
I just think in a press conference announcing a $4.6 billion stadium saying please give us wins is crazy. It has nothing to do with the prayer part.
No, it's
what he's praying for in the press conference.
And the press conference to ask for $2.5 billion in public money.
I asked back, he said that if you don't have a 4,000 yard passer, you're allowed to ask for anything from in prayer. It's fine. You know? Ask for whatever you want. They have the saddest...
Renderings look cool, though. I'll tell you that.
They kind of look like a Legion, don't they?
It looks like any brand new retractable stadium to a certain extent without seeing the inside of it fully.
I saw the inside. I mean, just like that open air at the end with the big video board. That's where I was saying I thought it kind of looked like Allegiant a little bit, which is fine. They don't have to, you know, I don't think stadiums are going to not look somewhat similar or all look
unique. It does have like 12 acres of
green space,
like public, no, public field, like athletic fields for the public. So we're always trying to talk about the,
community
to tie into the community, and that sounds like that's something they're going for in Chicago.
Yeah, it was baseball diamonds and pickleball courts and all the other little things kind of drawn in there. It is, and again, we know that they're a much bigger city, but everybody's kind of going through this right now, and nobody's sure what these cities are going to do. Kansas City recently voted down the first pass of, what I assume is the first pass, of the stadium projects for the Chiefs and the Royals. Cincinnati wants some renovation to theirs, and they're not sure how it's going to go. Chicago's at, like, there are a lot of cities right now in a very similar spot to the Royals and the Chiefs in which they're either asking for brand new stadiums or they're asking for renovations for their older stadiums, and it's not going to be there. And it's tough because even the Cardinals are asking for renovations to their stadium. Can I, quick aside on the Cardinals?
Yeah.
I see their fans really hurt because last night nobody showed up for a Cardinals game. And it does bring me, I'll be honest, immense joy that for a city and a fan base that tried to claim for a million years that we're just different and had a winning team for 20 consecutive years. So they just thought they were different. But then the second the team was no good, guess what? Guess what? They were exactly like every other fan base and they stopped going to the park because the team stunk. Not going to just show up for nothing. So the idea that they like threw in our face forever, like we're different fans and best fans in baseball and all that stuff that Cardinals fans spout, boy, it brings me some joy. Because someone earlier sent out a tweet, like some Cardinals fan would be like, you must be sick if you're happy about the demise of the Cardinals. I'm like, well,
that's beautiful.
I am terribly ill if that's the case because it brings me great joy, sir. To watch the Cardinals fail? Yeah. It's one of the best things about sports fandom is not just getting to root for your team, but rooting against the teams that you hate. That's also great about sports. I like watching the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. They're heading towards a rebuild. They sent down Jordan Walker to AAA today, I think I saw. They're in St. Louis. They're a mess, and they're struggling with some attendance stuff a little bit more than normal. They're still doing very well compared to most markets, but, yeah, their team's not playing well, so naturally less people show up to the ballpark. Happens. You're not immune to that, St. Louis.
They thought they were. They had 20 straight years of having a winning season. They thought they were immune. Turns out they were not.
All right, back to the draft a little bit. When we've discussed what the Chiefs may or may not do, and we'll continue to talk about that today and, of course, all day tomorrow, getting set for the first round in Detroit. But the rest of the AFC West and how that could play out, and all three teams, Denver, LA Chargers, Las Vegas Raiders, all three could end up trading either up or down. Like, and it's not like, well, duh, anybody can trade up or down. But again, real talk that it could happen. Not that, well, of sure. course, any team can trade up or down. I mean,
like, they're technically available to do it.
The Chargers truly could trade down. It seems like it's a realistic possibility. The Broncos trading up for a quarterback is not a crazy thought. The Raiders trading up for a quarterback, not a crazy thought. That's going to make the front half of the draft fun because normally we're kind of here in Kansas City waiting and waiting and waiting. There's a lot of intrigue because it impacts the AFC West in the first 12, 13 picks of the draft.
I think the biggest question out of this, because I think it is realistic that the Chargers trade down. I think they probably should. As much as just talking about the Chiefs are very rarely going to pick at a spot where they get elite talent. Can't say the same thing about the Chargers. They've picked in the top 15 like three times in the last 5 years. So they might pick inside of an elite location a lot. Based on their history, you would think the quarterback would prevent that. But it hasn't so far. But they just have so many needs and a brand new regime. And with brand new regimes comes talent turnover and wanting your own guys and fresh voices, which means picks. That's why I think the Chargers are trading down. The biggest question I have out of the first round is, are both of the other two teams taking a first round quarterback? Are both of the first two teams taking at least a quarterback in the first or the second round? I would still rule the Broncos is more likely because Aiden O'Connell's only been in their system a year, and maybe Pierce is just like, well, whatever. We'll give him another.
Gardner Minshew too, right?
Yeah, and we'll go for it. That's better than Denver's situation, mm-hmm. which is Zach Wilson and
Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci. Stidham.
Yeah, better than that situation. So I think it's more likely Denver takes a quarterback. I still kind of feel like they both kind of have to. Maybe the Raiders are just telling themselves, because here's the problem. Antonio Pierce is not going to have the runway that Sean Payton will have. Denver wanted Sean Payton so bad, they paid him like $20 million a year. They're not going to be running off Sean Payton quick, the new ownership. He's got time, technically, if he wants to just take a gap year to travel Europe and start Jared Stidham at quarterback and then roll back into the draft next year for the quarterback of his dreams. He technically has a year time to do that. Pierce would only be in year one. But, I mean, if you just take a – if you just throw it to the wind, at least you're doing with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. But it's like – I feel like they both have a very strong argument for quarterback. But I also think it requires nobody jumping up too high for J.J. McCarthy and I think Penix in this case, where those guys are ahead of you at 12 or at 11 and 13.
I think five were the Chargers. They're in a great spot because they could just take the best offensive lineman in the draft, Joe Alt, at five. To me, they should trade down and get another pick or two, still maybe able to help the offensive line, but you have other holes on that roster because the Vikings might want to get to five to either get McCarthy or Penix. The Raiders could go to five to get Penix. I don't think the Raiders are trading up for McCarthy. The Broncos, to me, could trade up for either McCarthy or Penix. And so that is a really good spot to be in if you're the LA Chargers. And when I think about what the Raiders and the Broncos will actually do, do you think either of them is not taking a quarterback with their first pick?
I think the Raiders are the least likely, not just because they're picking at 13, just because, again, I think their quarterback situation is a lot better than Denver. And I have a hard time imagining Denver's not taking a quarterback with their first pick. They're not really going with that, are they?
I don't think so. Even though Sean Payton, you know, probably thinks he can fix anything and, you know, he wants to do it his way and he ran Russell Wilson out the door.
When he had
that,
Drew Brees, he still wanted to take Patrick Mahomes. So, like, yeah. I don't think he's just going to sit around having mediocre quarterbacks. That's why he ran Russell Wilson's ass out of town, like you said.
Yeah, I think the only, though, way the Broncos trade up is to get, like, a Penix. I don't know if they're, like, are they trading up and giving a better offer than what the Vikings will to get, let's say, J.J. McCarthy at five?
Unlikely. I think the Vikings have more assets and a better ability to do that, so my guess is no. But I guess we'll see. By the way, another contract extension in the NFL, this time with the Lions again. Penei Sewell is getting a new four-year, $112 million extension. Makes him the highest-paid offensive lineman to with the Lions. $85 million guaranteed.
So the Lions are handing out some big-time money. What, $220 million today?
Yep. How left tackle and wide receiver. At least you're doing premium positions.
Jumping back to the Broncos real quick. How long was Sean Payton's contract for? Was that one of those double-digit? Was it like 8 years? Was it long?
I don't remember.
Because the reason why I'm asking is if they're
5 years.
Okay. So if they're at 12, say the Raiders trade up and you get five quarterbacks that go off the board, I don't know if Denver is comfortable in just based on, I mean, it was a quick Google search in terms of what national experts think, what Broncos analysts think. A lot of the consensus is third round, they're going to take a quarterback.
Third round? I mean, it's not that you can't get it right. Someone's always going to put out Russell Wilson, but the odds of you getting it right in the third round are so 1 in 20. What do you think it is, Gold? Like, if you had to put, like, a Vegas odds number, 20 to 1, do you get a Pro Bowl caliber starting quarterback in the third round or later?
Yeah, I mean, it's worse than that, maybe.
It's very slim, but
50 to 1? Yeah, I mean, God.
What is the outlook for them paying Russell Wilson's money off? Like, how long is it?
A year. This year and
next
year.
It's 1 year?
Well, I had next year, so I guess 2 years.
So that's right. I think there's part of me that says if you have any questions at all about Penix or Bo Nix, I wouldn't draft him. And if you suck and you take a guy in the third round and it doesn't work out, if you take Spencer Rattler and it doesn't work out for you, then so be it. Next year, if you're bad enough, you're going to have more assets. There's no assets for them to trade up, though. Like, they can't give up anything to move up from 12 without mortgaging their future again, which they just did.
But for quarterback, you have to do it. And the Russell Wilson mortgaging the future wasn't Sean Payton's doing, you know?
Yeah, right.
You always get the pass when it wasn't you. Wasn't his GM, wasn't Sean Payton. That was the old regime who they've run out of town. Russell Wilson is not your cross to bear. You ran his ass out of town. And a quarterback, like, I always think they always be like, can you really take this chance twice in a row? We briefly had this conversation when it sounded like the Chicago Bears were thinking about, instead of taking Caleb Williams, trading the number one overall pick. I'm just telling you right now, you are more likely to get fired by standing pat with this, I hope this works out, than taking another shot at quarterback. Because the shot at quarterback actually has a chance to save your job. sticking it out with Russell Wilson doesn't have a very high success rate of keeping your job. Sticking it out with Justin Fields has a very low success rate of keeping your job. Caleb Williams buys you a few years. Year one could still be kind of meh, and you'd be like, oh, but wait, year two, here we go. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you just go into Justin Fields again and you're mediocre again, you're done.
If Denver doesn't make the playoffs, is Sean Payton gone? I don't think he's fired. So
they,
I think
again, they wanted him too bad. They paid him too much money.
I think that's his out, is that if he doesn't love the quarterback enough, he's going to – he shouldn't just go for the guy because it might pan out in the first round if it's the exact same thought process in the second and in the third round. But, hey, Penix or Bo Nix is a little bit more talented than Spencer Rattler, but – I still don't feel very comfortable making the pick, but you know what? I want to do it.
Real quick, what's your guess? All right, you just have to assume at pick five, do the Chargers make it or they trade out?
Yeah, I would right now, I think they're trading out of pick five.
I think so, too. Do you think the Broncos stay at 11 or move?
I think the Vikings or Raiders are more likely to trade to five than the Broncos.
Okay. I think the Broncos stay at 12. And then 12, yeah. Yeah, and the Raiders are...
I think the Raiders go down. I think the Broncos stay where they are, and I think the Chargers trade down.
I think
two different teams trade down, because I think the Raiders would just say, let's take assets, and Pierce would think he can build a team, you know? He's an old-school mindset guy, and he's like, I'm going to build everybody on this roster. It's going to be great.
Time it gets interesting.
And we're going to do this together.
Is what we laid out the scenario earlier. If there's a shocker at two, and it's not Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, and somehow it's May,
that does screw everything up.
And Daniels is there at three for the Patriots, and if you get in that spot, is there a team that didn't think Jaden Daniels is available at three, and they get a little more desperate, and they're willing to trade up and get Jaden Daniels? And that throws everything off, and I could see a team mortgaging more of their future to get Daniels. Whereas I think the Patriots will stay there if Drake May is there, because that's who they've had all along. But if it's Jaden Daniels, I think the trade, someone actually going to three, is likely. But this is what's fun. Like, it takes two or three things to happen to completely change the entire, obviously, the entire draft. But if we're just going off of what I think is acknowledging that trades are going to happen, but we're not going to get the chaos that everybody tries to hype up. Like, tomorrow, I'm sure Adam Schefter will go on ESPN at 2 o'clock and be like, I'm hearing this could be one of the craziest first rounds we've ever had, and all this crap. We'll have a first round with some trades, I'm sure. I don't think it's going to be the craziest draft ever. We'll have some trades. Everybody will freak out, and it'll be what we typically see in a draft.
Yeah, I think that it would probably be pretty standard. The good news is, or what the Chiefs want out of this, is as many quarterbacks possible in the first round, right? As many quarterbacks, as many linebackers and guards and centers. Those are the ones that can go as many as you want in front of them at 32. You're trying to preserve tackles, preserve defensive linemen, preserve, obviously, wide receivers, and figure out who's going to be available to you at that stage. That's what, you know, so I want Bo Nix to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think he's going to be. I would like him to be a first-round pick because it's just one less player taken that the Chiefs might want.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll have some fun with, in particular, final predictions on not just the Chiefs over-under and draft position for certain players, but even that, the prop bets for quarterbacks. Because I think we're going to see six go in the first round. I do believe somebody will end up trading either back in the first round, or someone just goes early. I think Bo Nix is the sixth one. We know there's four or five pretty much guaranteed. I think Bo Nix goes, and so we'll get six quarterbacks drafted in the first round.
I think it's just five. Which is fine. I mean, we can vary on that.
I think it's fine. I think that, Cody, you gave the Raiders trade back thing. I think if the Raiders trade back, I think it's fine. I think the Raiders get Penix in the first round, whether they pick him at 12 or at 13, or whether they trade back into the first round late and they get him at 27.
The reports are, like, it's so weird because, again, what's true or not, I don't know. The most recent reports are is that people are way higher on Penix than you think, but he's almost as old as Bo Nix. And he has an injury history. And if there's a guy who would just be like, hey, those two, Nix, and the problem is they're kind of tied together. Those two are the most likely just, they were successful because of the system and the talent around them, quarterbacks, in the entire draft. The difference is Penix has a much better arm than Nix, which helps him in this case. But that's maybe the only thing separating the two of them. The rest is, look at all the talent around them in favorable offensive systems, in conferences that don't play defense, and they're both older by quarterback standards from draft pick possibilities. So it's like, they just feel similar to me. I just think teams like Penix better than they like Nix. And
how,
I do too.
How I kind of just like divvied up the quarterbacks, and like, you know, everybody ends up finding one or two that they think are more likely to be successful. But is just the balance of whose floor is higher versus whose ceiling is higher in that middle road. Like, I think JJ McCarthy's floor is actually higher than a couple of the guys that we've, it sounds like, agree on that might be better, that we think are better,
like,
I should say.
Ceiling.
But the ceiling, like, the upside to me is not nearly as high for JJ McCarthy. Hey, he can be a long-term pro in this league. Like, if you say, let me just throw it, if you think JJ McCarthy can be just as good as
Derek Carr
or Brock Purdy last year, let's take the put it aside that he was an MVP candidate for like 3 weeks.
Kirk Cousins.
But, you know, Kirk Cousins.
That never made any sense.
You know, would you still draft that guy in the top 10? Yeah, of course. I think you absolutely would. But would I rather draft the guy that Jaden Daniels, who has a lower floor, maybe more bust potential, but he has a chance to actually be an MVP candidate one day, right? And that's the balance. If I'm drafting number two overall, I'm taking the swing for the guy that has a chance to be an MVP, which to me is why Jaden Daniels is the pick at two and why JJ McCarthy is five or six.
I think when you get yourself stuck in the, I'll just take the guy with the low floor, is how you end up taking Mitch Trubisky. You get stuck in this world, and I know that that's the worst case example I'm giving, and there's certainly examples of safe quarterbacks who went high, like Jared Goff, by the way, who's another guy like this. Jared Goff is not a bad NFL quarterback. He is a perfectly good pro. He is one of the 12 best quarterbacks in the league. He's never been one of the five best quarterbacks, and he never will. That's just the reality of the quarterback you take when you take the floor part of it. The problem is you always think the floor's got a limit, but it can go Trubisky level. Like, everyone's floor is the same, in my opinion, is the problem. It's less likely they'll hit it. But every single quarterback you take, based on just history, can be the worst damn quarterback in the league for a while.
I hear you. I mean, I think, yeah.
Less likely they hit their floor. But
right, like, Caleb Williams, his floor is higher than anybody's.
Yeah.
It's less likely that he is just a flat-out bust.
But there's still that, like, 5% chance or 0.5%, whatever you think it is, that he just stinks out loud.
But his ceiling is also, you know, consistently at maybe a top. Doesn't mean he reaches the ceiling, but his ceiling is being an MVP candidate and winning a Super, you know, go take you to a Super Bowl. I don't think J.J. McCarthy's ceiling is anywhere near, and this is why he's not going to be the first two or three quarterbacks off the board, I don't think.
I think it'll be fourth.
Is because his ceiling probably doesn't equate to being an MVP caliber quarterback. And that's a majority of the league, by the way. So there's nothing you can go make a ton of money in the league just being Kirk Cousins. Look at Kirk Cousins, right? Nothing wrong with that. But if I'm at number one or number two, I have to take the swing for the guy that has a chance to be Patrick Mahomes.
What's crazy is unless this is the rare draft, the Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, like when they were like four really good,
Tua Herbert.
Unless it's that draft. Every other part of history would tell you that of these quarterbacks, let's say your number, six get taken in the first round. Three will absolutely stink.
Two will pan out as good starters.
Two will be good starters. Yeah, probably. One will be a star.
Yeah. Like, it's very possible.
That's,
yeah.
The normal numbers would tell you three stink. They're not even starters at the end of their rookie contract. Or they're like journeyman starter who like one guy gets
and
that.
And if I were to write
two
now.
Two are competent starters who stay with their team for a while and one guy's a star.
And right now, if I were to ask you, who do you think the two are that are just going to flat out stink? I would say Bo Nix and maybe JJ McCarthy. Even though I acknowledged his floor is higher, I still think there's a chance that it's both those guys.
Bo Nix would definitely be on my list. I think, if I had to pick three bust,
okay.
Bo Nix and Penix, right? I mean, because they're just the two least likely to succeed. I know it's the easy one. I'd probably take Jaden Daniels next.
Okay.
He's all upside.
Yeah.
Like, that man is just pure, unadulterated upside where you're like, his ceiling is through the damn roof. But boy, could I see it flopping. Like, I mean, I see it going the other way, too.
I think that's fair. What about you, Drew?
I really think that it depends on where Bo Nix goes. If he goes to the Rams.
True.
If he goes to the Rams and is backing up Stafford for 1 year and then he goes.
You probably think it's okay.
He's not going to play very long, but I think he's fine. Penix, I think, is the most potential to be a complete bust because of the injury problems. If he gets hurt again, he might be completely he might just be toast. Even though he can throw, he might be toast.
Yeah, that's fair. The landing spot, and you're right, we'll know Friday. The landing spot is also so key in the initial outlook of any of these guys' careers.
Because you might not, Drake May's your answer because you're like, sorry, you have to go to New England. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to work out there.
Yeah.
Not because you think the talent's not there, but because he's going to New England.
Right. My opinion of Jaden Daniels, if he somehow ends up in New England and doesn't go number two, is going to be way different of what I think he can be.
So let's revisit this on Friday. Does that sound good?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. All right, guys, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also get back into the Royals and what is ahead for them, not only tonight, but the rest of the month right here on Cody and Gold.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals in action again tonight against the Blue Jays. Game three of this four-game set. Alec Marsh on the mound. The Royals will try to now start a winning streak after snapping the three-game losing streak. 6:40 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 5:30 right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Hopefully make it two in a row, right? Guarantee that series split against the Blue Jays tonight is a four-game series, which is always a little confusing. I think the initial thought is always like, all right, game three, rubber match. You're like, no, there's a four-game one. Next up on Watch Training, two big deals in the NFL today, both by the Detroit Lions. First, they gave Amon-Ra St. Brown a four-year, $112 million deal. Or, I'm sorry, $120 million deal worth $72 million guaranteed. And then later gave Penei Sewell an $85 million guaranteed deal worth $112 million over 4 years. So they handed out some big, big, big contracts today for the Detroit Lions. Look, they're eventually going to have to make the decision on Jared Goff and an extension. I assume based on the level of success they had, they're going to give him an extension, but we'll see. That's a sleeper team in the second round, third round quarterback market. When you think about where they are contract wise, what they could do, what they don't do, they got to make some decisions on Jared Goff moving forward.
Yeah, I think they're going to give him an extension,
I do
though.
Too.
And that, you know, the financially, they have a bunch of commitments now going forward. It's what happens. Your team has success and they're going to have to go through and figure out how they can navigate like the Chiefs have navigated with success, bigger salaries at some of the premier sort of positions. Didn't the Lions draft? Did they draft Hendon Hooker last year? Was that the Lions or was that the Vikings?
I think it was the Lions. Yes,
they spent
Lions,
a second or third round pick on a quarterback last year, didn't they?
They're probably waiting one more year on Jared Goff. Yeah.
Also, Hendon was older.
Fair. Got hurt. He was coming off an injury too, right?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about what they could potentially do. All right, next about what's trending, thinking of college football, how about Reggie Bush after 14 years of waiting for that Heisman Trophy, 14 years later of forfeiting it, he gets it back well overdue, to say the least.
I'd say so.
This is something that I think Johnny Manziel actually deserves some credit for. He has been pretty outspoken.
Almost like how cheap, absurd, Johnny Manziel.
That's right, yeah, about how absurd it's been for Reggie Bush, who lost it during NCAA sanctions, right? He got an Escalade and his parents got a house and things like that, which was breaking the rules back then, NCAA violations, but it didn't impact the accomplishments that allowed him to become the Heisman Trophy winner. And now that NIL has happened, I think it makes more sense than ever to ease back on that.
You know, Reggie Bush, is he
good?
No, I was going to just like, when talking about like college football, is he one of those, damn, he played in the wrong year of the NFL guys? Like, I think about those guys sometimes for the NBA. Like, I always think, like, Hedo Turkoglu would have been better in today's NBA than the NBA he was in now. Reggie Bush in, like, even today's NFL seems like it benefits him even more than the league he was in before.
I don't know, though. He played, I mean,
oh, he played, like, 8 or 9 years. It's not like he was a bad football player.
Yeah, I mean, he had a very nice NFL career. He played for 10 years in the league almost?
That's a long time for running.
And he had two seasons over 1,000 yards rushing, plus you mentioned the receiving. I mean, this guy had 700 yards receiving in his rookie season.
Especially for a guy that won the Heisman Trophy, because traditionally guys that win the Heisman don't have the greatest NFL careers most of the time.
In 2013, he played in 14 games, because then he started to have some injury problems. But in 14 games, he had 1,000 yards on the ground in 500 receiving. He had 1,500-yard season in 2013.
In 14 games. in just 14 games. Yeah, I mean, I just think he put his success even more in that case. Next up on What's Trending, fifth-year option time in the NFL. Two so far today. Ja'Marr Chase got his picked up, which means they have the exclusive right to a contract extension talks with Ja'Marr Chase. That's not surprising. And the Steelers reportedly will not pick up the fifth-year option on quarterback Justin Fields. Remember, they traded for Russell Wilson or signed Russell Wilson as well, but Justin Fields also on their roster. They have the most interesting quarterback room in the entire NFL. The former high first-round draft pick and Justin Fields, who they don't seem interested in at all, and Russell Wilson, who's been paid $4 billion over the last 3 years just to leave his teams.
Yeah, I think for Justin Fields going forward, your comparison with Baker is maybe your best case scenario now. Mm-hmm. Now, he's still also so much younger that, like, we're already speeding up. Like, it took much longer for Baker to get to the point that we're assuming Justin Fields is at. You know,
he needed 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, so I don't know what the timeline looks like for Fields. I don't think he's, you know, done in the league, but the fact that they were willing to just go trade for Russell Wilson instead, or sign Russell Wilson, not trade, sign for Russell Wilson and trade for Justin Fields. Okay. In Pittsburgh.
Why do they trade for him? I mean, look, you don't have to pick the fifth-year option. If he just turns into a star because Russell Wilson gets hurt week one, then you could just give him a contract. It doesn't matter.
Also, over in the NBA, playoffs going on tonight. There are two games tonight. There's a couple more tomorrow. Tonight, you got the Boston Celtics, who are already up 1-0 on the Miami Heat. And then you got the Thunder, who are up 1 on the New Orleans Pelicans. So that's the NBA action this evening.
Lastly, on What's Trending, don't forget our draft party out at the Landing tomorrow. We'll be there. The draft starts at 7. I'm sure it'll be a little earlier than that, where you can win $610 in cash by correctly picking who will be picked, how many first-round picks will be, and by which team they will go. We'll also have some autographed Chiefs memorabilia. We're all going to be hanging out there at the Landing tomorrow night. Hull Station, Character Concerns with Jay Binkley and Chris Unocero will be broadcasting live there as well. So if you want to come out, hang out, have a few beers, meet us, chat, just watch the draft, whatever it is, we'll be out of the Landing in Liberty tomorrow night.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to being up there. And hopefully we have somebody that when you sign your draft form, I feel like you got to put which show you're assigning it to as well. That's my new rule.
We want a Cody and Gold.
I know you guys.
I like that people only sign it Cody and Gold because we're the only shows asked them to do
it. You know, I think you should just put CNG on there as well. We know a lot of you listen to all the shows, and that's great. But you know, if you want to put CNG on there, we want one of our official listeners.
That'll be the random question tomorrow. Please rank our shows in order. Which one you like the best to least? One, two, and three. I'd like a definitive ranking
of your
610 Sports Radio shows. Matter of fact, 1 through 4. Let's get the night show in there too, and our guy Dusty Likens.
Yeah, when you turn in your form, put CNG on there if you want to claim it. We want to be able to claim that the winner came from our show.
That's right. It's like that $1,000 cash contest. Remember we used to do that? We had a winner out of that on ours.
I remember that.
Guy won a cool G.
Back in like 2021.
Yeah, that was 20 or whatever. A little ways back. I also forgot to put in Watch Training. The KC Current fired their medical department head today for having a relationship with a player too.
Which is
against the rules.
Okay.
So it turns out.
I did not
so
see that.
Don't do that. Violating, I think as they put it, violating the they call it, like, fraternization policy of the NWSL.
So it wasn't anything like...
They just had a regular relationship, and they were dating, but you can't date a player if you're the head of medical for a team.
Sure.
Interesting. All right. That's all I got to say. Okay. All right.
Would you ever date someone at work? Not this work.
No.
Literally any work?
No. I've told you, we've had this discussion on air. I think it's a terrible decision. It's a terrible idea. It only can cause problems. I think it's an awful decision. Yeah, like we've got
my
other
wife
stations.
My wife and I worked together at the Tivoli for a brief period of time, but it was neither of our full-time job, and we very rarely worked there together.
No, if it is your full-time job and it is your career, I think it's a terrible decision. Now, this is different. I'm talking about not if you're a small business owner and you own the business and your wife works. That's different, right? Or girlfriend. I'm talking about you work at a corporation. And
what if you just work in different, like if you work at like Oracle, it's fine. You can work at the same company. You might not even see each other. I got 20,000 employees.
But if you're working in the same building, I think it's a no-go.
Same building?
Yeah, I think it's a no-go.
Same building, I think you're okay. Same department? That's a no-go.
Yeah, I think it's a no-go.
So theoretically, if somebody were to get a new job at Odyssey here and you were to meet your future significant other.
Not happening.
Hang on. Like you really liked her. You really both loved each other. Is your consensus you can't work here? Or are you like,
it would never even get through. It would never even get to that point. I've been pretty clear. That's what I'm saying. It would never even get to that point. If I don't care who it is, I think it's let's say it's somebody that works at, pick one of our other sister stations or whatever. And if she's working there, it would never get to that point because I wouldn't let it get to that point. I'm dead serious about that. Mm. I think it's a terrible idea.
It's an absolute no from. In fairness,
it causes problems.
He can say that pretty blindly now because there are like zero single women in this entire building.
Well, there's a couple. There's a couple.
And there's like one that's in your age range.
I think so.
So yeah. I mean, it's not long. Someone from the 816 says, ours was a tale as old as time. She was a server, and I was a line cook.
There you go.
As someone who worked briefly, that's like the classic work together relationship. Everyone, by the way, everyone in restaurants dates each other. That's just like an accepted fact of that job.
Okay.
I think it's keep weird hours together. It is very hard to date someone who doesn't also work in restaurants sometimes when you're not also
I could understand that. I just think in general, like someone says the old saying, don't get your honey where you get your money. That's a text line.
God, I don't. That makes me feel icky.
That's the text line. But I completely agree. I just think it's, heck, there's been recent examples. So I'm good with that.
Okay. I wasn't planning on getting into that, but
How about those Royals, huh? You want to talk about them? You were doing some digging on some numbers and why we could be talking about an MVP race throughout the season on top of the AL Central race, and they could go hand to hand because Bobby Wood Jr. has the second best odds now to be the American League MVP.
I was kind of surprised, honestly, to find it this morning because this is what's so stupid about Bobby Wood Jr. I've been okay with this season. I've been like, Bobby Wood Jr. has been a really nice player for the Royals this year. And you look at the stats, and he's on pace for 20 triples and 50 doubles and almost 30 home runs and 40 stolen bases. And you're like, that's it, huh? That's all you got for me, Bobby? Literally leading the league in every single offensive category imaginable when you talk about like all the extra base hits combined? Because that's what you care about. I don't care the number of home runs to doubles to triples for Bobby Jr. I care about how many total extra base hits are you planning on having this year, in which he is right near the top of the league because he's that kind of player. I think what comes into play here is the only chance he has to actually... The most encouraging thing about this stat is... They do not give that award to players on at least mediocre teams. They'll give it to a mediocre team. They'll give it to Shohei Ohtani. They'll give it to a player who is having a tremendous year on an okay team. They will not give it to a player on a bad team, as in a team with less than 80 wins, in my opinion. That is really kind of the baseline, which means the odds makers still think that Bobby Wood Jr. is not only playing well enough to deserve to be the second odds-on favorite in the league for that, but they also think that the Royals aren't going away, right? They kind of have to think that.
I think that they go hand-in-hand, yeah. I mean, Bobby Wood Jr., where he's pacing, and he's going to have a special season. We're going to find out throughout how special it is if we're going to be truly sitting here in July or August and talking about him having a real chance to win this thing. But in order for that to become real, it's not just his performance. I do think voters, you can, say it's fair or not fair, but
it's just the way it works.
The AL Central, the Royals have to be competitive in the division to win it. I know people will cite Cy Young year, Greinke won it, and the Royals were not competitive. Yeah, I think Cy Young is different than MVP. We're talking about Cy Young versus the most valuable player in the league.
It's also the first time that it ever happened, by the way.
Right. Most valuable player to me is just different. And nobody's saying that they have to win the division. But they also can't, to me, be fall off and be a 68 or 78 win team, and Bobby Wood Jr. have some numbers that are right around Juan Soto, and then Juan Soto and the Yankees win 95 games in the AL East. Spoiler, they're probably going to give it to Juan Soto. So if you're talking about actually winning and not just finishing in the top three of voting, which would also be a hell of an accomplishment,
probably have to be a playoff team.
The Royals probably have to win 80 plus, and Bobby needs the numbers. But it gives us it's something else to follow and what can make this a really fun summer. Not just can the Royals stay above 500 and right around 500 all summer and make you really believe that they can win this division while the Guardians are out in front right now. But if Bobby Wood Jr. continues to rake and it's around the all, it's the All-Star game and Bobby Wood Jr. is an All-Star, let's say. And
he's definitely going to be that, I think.
All of that can continue the momentum.
The other part about it is I think sometimes people look at the stats and they're like, well, those are pretty good. And again, those are way better than pretty good. You have an unfair expectation for Bobby Wood Jr. just like I do. Those are way better and pretty good. At shortstop, it's special. He's also playing gold glove level shortstop. In addition to that, which also helps his MVP odds, he's second in Major League Baseball in extra base hits, only behind Shohei. That's it. He has more extra base hits than Mookie Betts, than Trout, than any other big time. And Trout's having a great year, by the way, if you haven't been following it. But it's like, than any of those players. He's having an equally good year, and he's doing it from the most value position. Someone says A-Rod won it on a 71-win team. I'm not saying it's never happened. It's rare. Really rare. And you do have to put up those special types of numbers. I think for the most part, though, they hand it to winning teams. And Juan Soto's going to have a chance to put up bonkers numbers in New York. And they might win the most difficult division in baseball, which makes it an even tougher thing to overcome. And right now, he's neck and neck. Plus 380 this morning on DraftKings, plus 400 for Bobby Wood Jr. The next closest player was Mike Trout at plus 900. So, I mean, there is a little bit of separation right now between one and two. And it's so early. We've talked about this. Like, I wouldn't cash your check, your ticket.
Yeah, someone said that A-Rod won it once on a 71-win team. I think they're between the Cy Young and MVP, I think there's been two instances of a team in, you know, 72 wins or less of winning in the last 15 or 20 years. So much like when we have these NFL discussions, like, hey, you're not going to find your future franchise quarterback in rounds.
And they're like, but Brock Purdy was taken in the seventh.
Right. So yes. Okay. It's happened one time. Yes. Yes.
It has occurred. But what about all the other times that people won?
We're going with the law of averages. We're going with what has happened like 90% of the time versus what happens 10% of the time.
What did A-Rod do?
And I can just tell you, because of the way the voters think, if you think they're going to pick a player in Kansas City over Juan Soto in New York, if the Yankees have 95 wins, and it's the freaking Yankees, unfortunately, I think we're going to get screwed in that category, in that vote. So Bobby's numbers have to be better, and the Royals have to be competitive.
Damn, A-Rod hit 47 homers that year. 118 RBI.
Yeah.
Bobby, by the way, his low home run totals don't bother me right now, because, again, he's second in Major League Baseball in extra base hits, and we both know by now that when the weather gets warmer, Bobby's going to hit more out of the park. Like, that's just been been his MO the entire time. But when A-Rod won it that year with 71 wins, he was an all-star. He had 47 home runs. His slash line was actually shockingly similar to Bobby Wood Jr.'s early slash line from an on-base percentage batting. I'm told that he also won Gold Glove. So, I mean, there's other things at play you certainly have to do in order to do it. God, A-Rod. Was he juicing that whole time? His stats are nuts.
You don't like A-Rod, though.
Nah, he sees it. I mean, come on, he's a douche. We know that, right? I mean, that's not like a secret. And then people
who do you dislike more, A-Rod or Derek Jeter? You're a hater of both.
I'm a hater of both.
You don't like Derek Jeter.
He can't stand more. Derek Jeter.
I just think his career, I just think he's been overinflated to a point that it hurts. They also make him seem like, you know, the difference is A-Rod's a dirtbag and everybody accepts it. So that's why I hate Jeter. Everyone's like, Jeter might be the sweetest man who ever walked the planet. And he just throws like rose petals in front of you as you walk out because he wants to be a good
dude. But which one is it? You don't like the guy because he's nice. And then the other guy, you think he's a jerk.
I don't think he's as nice as everyone makes him seem. And why? I don't think he's as good of a baseball player as he seems.
Well, that we've talked about.
Well, there's plenty of rumors with Derek Jeter and his extracurriculars.
Oh, but him and gift baskets are very nice, you know? Gift baskets are very nice.
He's telling you to get the hell out. He's just doing it with some, you know, macarons.
My gift basket's very nice, you know?
If you became a billionaire tomorrow, you're going to get some gift baskets ready?
No, I don't need gift baskets. If that's the case. No, I wouldn't need to do the gift baskets.
It's just as a nice farewell, that's all.
No. I had you'll love this. So, not my co-host in Boise, but someone that used to work at the station who I knew through other people. He would hang. This is so bad. This is the poor man version of Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter's?
He, whenever he would sleep with somebody, would hand them when they left. I kid, this is a real story. I swear to God, he would hand them. It was ESPN Boise. Okay, he would hand them ESPN Boise T-shirts.
Oh no!
I'm dead serious.
What?
Completely serious. That happened.
I got a few Cody and Gold shirts left. Gold, if you need them, you know?
I don't know.
If you
want to
hand
them
out, is prizes feels bad. I don't think that's the word I want to use.
Yeah, but
parting gifts.
No, but he did this. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But that was a real thing. I don't know how many he handed out. I don't know the number, but they were handed out.
Someone says, if I had it for $1 billion, I'm making up cash baskets. You don't even need.
Well, that's a different transaction. If you're paying cash on the way, it's a different type of relationship.
Yeah, even if it's not the case, it starts feeling a lot more like a business transaction versus just a nice gift I'm giving you on the way out the door. Yes.
Right.
slightly different vibe.
I do agree, and I know you have a long standing, and you have some real reasons why you don't like Jeter on the field and stuff like that. But I do think this text is accurate. There is a little bit of, it says, hey, social media has told you not you, but told you to dislike Jeter's career. I do think there's a lot of groupthink with that. You have some
That's
valid reasons.
That's the analytics community, probably.
Yeah.
I want to make it clear. I've been on the Derek Jeter is overrated camp for 20 years. I'm holding firm.
I don't like it. I don't like
firm
it.
Firm
you know?
On either. My...
I'm not even like a huge Derek Jeter fan, but I think we're trying to downplay his career.
His most famous play, the like backhand a ball, jump and throw it, is because the man had no range. Bobby Wood Jr. just backhands it and throws it like a normal person. He doesn't need to jump and do ridiculous stuff. He could just get to the ball. He just standing at it, just standing behind the ball, fielding it, and throwing it over.
I think
first.
There's a level of showmanship with Derek Jeter doing that. But again, New York, he was really good at that particular thing. Mm-hmm. I think he just bought in.
I also just think, boy, you want to talk about the easiest time of all time to be a good hitter if you're the Yankees.
No.
Well, then why did everybody else do it?
Tony?
If it was so easy.
Everyone else in that lineup did.
No, if it was so easy across baseball.
Hit like 4,000.
If it was so easy across baseball.
Not across baseball. For Derek Jeter in that Yankees lineup. Surrounded by like 7 Hall of Famers and 15 Cy Young Awards.
No, you went from valid reason to pure hate in just that 10-second instance. By the way,
he is one of the best offensive shortstops we've ever seen in the game's history. Anyway.
I think we've been through this before. Did you watch the whole documentary? The
I didn't watch a single second of it.
I can't stand them.
Whole documentary. I don't watch any of that. Are you kidding me?
The 10-episode Last Dance version of Derek Jeter's career.
10-part. Derek Jeter needs 10 parts.
My goodness.
Yeah, I'm not watching any of that.
We'll be back at it tomorrow. Depending on the weather, we only have a 2-hour show tomorrow. We could end up with a 4-hour show. We'll keep an eye on the weather. But we're back at it tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Draft day, we'll be talking all things draft, getting you set for our big party tomorrow night at the Landing in Liberty. Hopefully talking also a little bit about the Royals winning 2 in a row, if they can get going again tonight. The Drive with CDOT and Rob coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.